Blog Talk Radio.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
Thursday. And when you think about hot, what color do you think about? Most likely you think about red, orange, yellow. Well, yellow not so much, but sort of move into that, you know, sort of move into that realm. But basically, most people think of red as the hot, hot color. Even though when we see pictures of the sun, it's sort of like, it's sort of fiery orange, sort of the color of flame. And I guess we got red all around us. It's getting pretty warm here in the Pacific Northwest. As a matter of fact, we're all the way up to 87 degrees, which, 88. I mean, let's just bring it all on. 88 degrees here in the Pacific Northwest, which is the scorching color of, red. Okay, let's get to color, and let's talk about what color does for us and the different aspects of color. Basically, there's a main colors that have to do with refractory factors. That's what color is. It's almost like a beam of light that sort of hits something and it bends into another refractory and it casts a certain shade. Okay, I'm going to give you some information about color before we get into some of the meanings of that. Here's what InfoPlease says about color. It's an effect that's produced on the eye and its associated nerves by light waves of different wavelengths or frequencies. Light transmitted from an object to the eye stimulates the different color cones of the retina, thus making it possible for the perception of various colors in the object. So I'm sure that probably there have been some people who have talked about somebody who could only see certain spectrums of color. It's because some people are either missing or they have too many rods or cones or something in their eye, and so then those beams of light aren't perceived quite the same way. So, but most of us, I don't know the exact statistics, but most of us see the colors in the different properties, starting with primary colors and then the different shades of those colors. So, And I was going to talk about the primary and the secondary colors because they actually speak to something about who you are, or it actually tends to be associated with certain aspects. For instance, your educational level, the type of things that you like to do. So let's try to get onto those. Now, the color the primary colors, most people already know what the primary colors are. Let me try to, let me just go over this. I don't know if you're interested or not, but it's something to think about. And the reason that probably primary colors are something that we mostly learn when we're in kindergarten or something like that, because those are the ones that we see probably, that's the core of most of what we see are these primary colors, which are, I want to make sure I say them correctly because the colors that I'm always attracted to aren't necessarily primary. So we have yellow, we have red, and we have blue. Okay? So those colors come together, they mix, when they overlap, then we see the secondary colors, which make up two primary colors. I know, this all seems a little bit too pedantic, or not really trying to teach you about color, but just in case you didn't know, and there's basic reasons to these basic things that are sort of basically affecting us when we're not even aware. If you walk into a room, and most of us have done this, we've walked into a house, and that house, for some reason, even though you've never been there, you don't know the people, you feel either cold, or maybe you feel really warm, or you feel really comfortable. You may not particularly feel happy, or maybe you just feel extremely calm. There's all kinds of effects that color puts on us, or actually how color affects us. In a better way. So, for instance, prints. We've experienced people who wear prints, and maybe they have a print that's sort of a jagged line. So maybe the print has a jagged yellow next to a jagged green, next to a jagged purple, next to a jagged orange, and maybe it's a bunch of colors. And it sounds like it would be sort of fun and jazzy, but some people seeing that color can actually start getting a headache or start feeling sick because it's almost too much to process for the way that they interpret color or based on the colors that they tend to vibrate with. So think primary, folks. Most people can look at primary colors, and they're okay. Most people. Occasionally, there's somebody out there who looks at yellow, and they want to get sick. It's rare. It's not the average person, but it can happen. And some people, blue just makes them depressed. It's not as upbeat and bright as yellow, which we tend to associate with sunshine, lemons, flowers, you know, that just sort of summer bright time. Then there's red, as we've been there, as we started this show. Red is that color where you're getting hot under the collar and you're getting more excited. You feel the need, or you feel sort of effervescent, or you probably feel the need to be incited into some action. It's almost like looking at red gets all your molecules and your atoms bouncing around the walls. And when that happens, from a scientific point of view, when your atoms and your molecules start bouncing around the walls like quite a bit at a high rate, well, then we get heat. And then we get that heat and everything starts getting even more excited, and next thing you know, we're exploding into vapor. Yeah. So red takes us to action, and if we get too much red, it can take us to an explosive nature. If you're constantly in red and you're always around red, and you might have some issues with stability, it could become a fiery mix, so to speak. So these are the things to think about when you're decorating, when you're putting your clothes on, if you're going to a job interview, instead of necessarily wearing all red to a job interview, which is going to have everybody in the room perceiving you in a certain light, it might be better to just have some contrasting red somewhere just to remind you to be more effervescent, to be more, and to give you that sense of excitement that is eagerness to work versus somebody who's in all blue, especially darker blue, which is almost morgue-ish, like a morgue for an interview. Now, mind you, there are different shades of these colors that can affect you as well. So you can mitigate some of these effects. If you have blue and it's, instead of making it really dark, navy blue, which is a great color, it's just, if you, instead of, it's more serious. But if you make that blue a little more light, as in you've infused a little bit more yellow into it, because really you're infusing some kind of yellow or some kind of lightness if you go from the primary colors, then that's going to bring out a different feel in the shading. So take a good look at your color wheel, folks. I mean, if you get a chance, go look at one online and just look at the primary colors. Try to look at them individually and just, you know, see how you're feeling when you're looking at it. Yellow to me just used to be so obtrusive because I didn't always want to be so upbeat. I have more of a fall, winter type nature. I like things when it's windy and then there's leaves and there's snow. Yes, because I'm not one of those who likes to hang out on the equator. But anyway, moving on. So we move a little bit past our primary colors. Let's take a look at the different effects of the colors on your mood. Okay? So, black. Well, now, that tends to be my favorite color. And it's interesting because I did talk to my sweetie earlier today, and he was talking about his favorite color, which will be next. But anyway, black is my favorite color. It says, black is the color of authority and power. Yeah, I like to be in control. I love to be in control. It's not to say that I don't enjoy the times that I'm not in control because, well, those have been some really great times too, but even in my seemingly uncontrolled moments, there's a lot of control that's going on with me. So I'm sure that there are a lot of people out there who probably think a lot like me. And we don't tend to relinquish control too easily. Some of us can't seem to do it at all, and that becomes a problem. It's never healthy to be one way to the point where if anything changes, your life falls apart all around you. It's better for us to sort of have enough of a compromise so that, you know, we maintain our identity, but we're able to move on in the world when things aren't exactly the way we hope they will be. So if you're into black, you're probably more stylish in your fashion. I'm sure there's people who probably don't think that I'm stylish because as a graduate student who does a lot of work online, you know, my jammy jams are pretty much the same as, well, you know, my day wear. I purposely try to not wear too much black because I'm really not trying to go for that gothic, really just dark mood. But the other side of black and that authority and power in fashion, it tends to make people look thinner and more stylish and timeless. According to InfoPlease, black actually also implies submission. I don't know how well I submit. I'm not the best compromising or patient person, but I certainly try because I love other human beings beyond myself. And black is also the color we see that priests tend to wear, which they say signifies submission to God. They say that fashion experts indicate women wearing black implies submission to men. Black outfits can be overpowering or make the wearer seem aloof or evil. Villains such as Dracula often wear black. You know, we know with our whole Western themes, the Westerns in the United States, a lot of the time there's, you know, Black Bart who wore the black cowboy hat. But, hey, then we have people like Tim McGraw. He wears the black hat, I think it was. And I believe maybe it was it Garth Brooks. Maybe he wore a black hat. I mean, there's a few country western stars who wore the black hat, but they weren't coming from the point of view like I'm the badass. They were coming from the point of view as I'm classic, I'm good-looking, I'm, you know, all those fashion things that we were talking about that black can infuse for you. I have said it pretty much most of my life that if you take a man that just seems really weak and snivelly and who has an annoying voice, just doesn't, just, and let's just say, let's just take a man who is not particularly handsome. Somebody who just wouldn't naturally, you look at them and think George Clooney or whoever it is that you think is good looking or Cary Grant. You look at this man and you just try to imagine, I can't really think of somebody who I think is just hideous or ugly. Ah, and Mel says Johnny Cash wore black. Johnny Cash, and he just seemed always classy and always gorgeous to me. Mary Oldicott, thank you, Mel. Perfect, perfect example. So you just, and it was funny because remember in the movie, Mel, they were talking about how when he was getting ready to go to Folsom Prison, I believe it was, to play in the movie, if you watch the movie about Johnny Cash with the names of the actors will come to me here in a minute, Joaquin Phoenix and the young lady, what was her name? Right off the bat, I know Mel's going to get this for me. Reese Witherspoon. So they were in there as Johnny Cash and June Carter. But when Johnny Cash went to Folsom Prison to do a concert, the people that were managing his career didn't like it. They were bothered by the fact that he was wearing all black. And I think at one point somebody said, what's the deal with the black? I mean, it's like you're an undertaker or something. And on top of that, he was wearing black glasses, black sunglasses, which, okay. Now let's juxtapose that over to this guy who we don't know who he is because I'm not going to say that somebody's hideous, but just find somebody in your life that you think is just hideous, so I'll use some example, or somebody that you don't really think. Take a teacher, maybe. There's a teacher from high school or elementary school that just seemed completely out of touch with reality, that you didn't really care for. Now, mentally dress that man in some extremely nice black slacks. You put them... Excuse me. Yeah, it was suggested in the chat room, Dick Cheney. Yeah, okay, we can take Dick Cheney, but and I'm not making any political statements, but you could take somebody like that, and then you dress them in black slacks, put them in a black turtleneck. You could even just use a black shirt with an incredible tie. It doesn't have to be a black tie, but if you use a black tie, that works too. Put them in a nice black jacket. Turtleneck's really good because somehow it gives you that weird sophistication look. Now you put them in that, and if they still kind of give you the willies, throw on the black sunglasses. Now just try to imagine that when you're talking about this somebody that you know, normally you would think was just not handsome, was creepy or disgusting, and you see them in that outfit. Well, they're immediately going to be stepped up in how you sort of, in their power, their looks. They walked into the room and you didn't know who they were and you'd never encountered them before and you saw them in that black, your head would turn. Your head would turn and you'd look like, who is that powerful person? Now that's what the color black can do for somebody. And listen, there are some people, black is not a good color for them to wear because it can sort of wash out their color. If you're extremely fair, it may work, but you might want to, I'm not trying to give fashion advice, you might want to have something else that's contrasting to keep the black from completely washing out your skin if you're extremely fair. So these are things to think about, folks. And as you're thinking about this color, the color black. So that's me. Color black's my color. And why do I need to wear something that makes me feel more powerful? Because it helps me to feel more powerful and in control. And I don't happen to agree about it making me submissive to men or anyone. When I'm in black, I'm like 10 times more formidable, let me just say that, than I am. I'm at least 10 times more formidable than any other time. Because my whole headset, my whole mindset goes into nobody can really touch me, and I'm not afraid of anybody, and anybody that crosses me is in trouble. That's just what it does for me. Okay. yeah. And Mel says, black gives confidence because it's professional. Makes you feel more secure. Great. Great submissions. Thank you, Mel. Now, let's look at the color white. We'll just go straight into the contrast. Now, most people, when they think about white, they think of hot climates because you're trying to negate that extreme heat that black fabric put on you when you're in a hotter climate. Black actually absorbs heat, folks. That's why you might want to watch it if you're going to go somewhere like Arizona. If you're walking down the middle of the summer in Arizona down the street, you got a black turtleneck on, black slacks, black coat, and a black hat, you're probably going to be more heated up than chicken in a frying pan because that's calling for the big guns of heat. Black just absorbs it. And by the same token, if it's kind of cool out and there is sun, but you're just a little bit cool, maybe black would help warm you up if you got to be outside. Maybe, you know, giving a funeral or something. I don't. Just a little bit of humor. Okay, so moving back to white. White symbolizes innocence, purity. I've always sort of wondered about that, being an African-American, well, African-American mixed, whatever. I always used to wonder about that. It's like, why are they supposedly more pure and we're not? Well, first of all, most African-Americans are not truly black. Occasionally you can meet somebody with the most luscious dark skin in the world, like very dark, but even they tend to have a color that is not strictly black. That's rare to find somebody with strictly black colored skin. So I don't tend to look at there being one or the other, but we'll just go with what tends to be perceived. White tends to symbolize this innocence and purity, light. It is a summer color. If you're, let's talk about the Lawrence of Arabia, that movie. If you've seen the movie, The Lawrence of Arabia, what's interesting is you have really stark color differences in the power plays that are there dealing with the tribes of Arabia. And you have the main character, Lawrence, cannot remember his last name right now, but I did do some research on him before. Wonderful. He did some wonderful work with the tribes in Arabia, and that's what the movie was about, and trying to manage that so that Great Britain could do what it is that Great Britain was trying to do in the Great Desert. So the two stark characters that most people remember in Lawrence of Arabia are Peter O'Toole's character, that he actually had white clothing, the hat, the scarves, everything that he was wrapped in tended to be white. And then there was the other one that was quite stark, and that was Omar Sharif, and I believe his clothing had black. So you had this constant interplay with the desert, which everybody who's seen Lawrence of Arabia talks about the actual character of the desert. This is actually part of the movie. It's not just background scenery. It is a character, and it is affecting the movie. Okay, and I'm digressing slightly, but the point is that contrast, the black, the white, and then this expansive entity, the desert. So, and what you think of one versus the other. You thought mostly of the Peter O'Toole character as being the sort of quote-unquote savior, the one that's bringing in the goodness, the greatness to this region of tribes that had their sort of issues. And then you see this other one with the black, Omar Sharif, as the one who had a lot of power and you didn't really know much about him and you were a little bit fearful of him and his power. So when we look at white, it's always good to look at black, so that just because it's such a stark contrast, and it helps you to understand the differences, not in terms of actual characters, but just the feelings that we have. So when you have white, you also have a good point. Women tend to have issues with white because we have this monthly greatness. That's right. It's a monthly greatness because when we have our moon phases, it's actually another indication of our feminine power. I will always look at it as a good thing, even though there are times it can be a little bit difficult. As in, when you're wearing white, and guess what? Your moon phase shows up, and you are unprotected. There's all kinds of horror stories that women have told or imparted to their girlfriends that were just purely traumatic because it happened, and all of a sudden, what you don't normally talk about in regular society is, oh, how was your period? What was your period? Or now, as they have on TV, have a happy period. You know, what else? Yes, let's have a happy period, shall we? Because all of society doesn't experience the actual moon phase. Although, I dare say we have discussed the fact that men seem to have moon phases as well, at least in their personality issues at the moment. It happens, I'm sorry. But moving along, white gets dirty, or what doesn't? But white is really big about showing you how dirty it can get. So maybe that has something to do with the psychological aspects of, somebody who's virginal, pure, innocent, and wearing white, and all I want to do is dirty it up. Or make them less virginal. I don't know. But, you know, these are things that go through our psyche or psychology. I have heard men talk about that with white, that virginal thing. We get married most of the time in white wedding dresses. I don't even know if women of today even know that the white wedding dress was a symbol of chastity, of virginal purity. And women generally weren't allowed to wear white dresses if they had been married once before, because they held real close to that symbol of a white wedding dress, meaning that you were chaste and virginal, that you had never been touched. So, nowadays, people are all over the place with weddings. I remember when I was a kid and going to some weddings, and I remember a lot of the women just talking this whole gossip and guffaw and all this crap about the bride who they knew had been with several different people before this wedding, or that woman had actually been married before. I mean, you would have thought that she had taken her baby and thrown her baby on a train track or something insane. That's how badly they used to talk about women that would dare to wear a white wedding dress even though they were no longer virgins or had been married before. It's amazing how times have changed. And with that, how color changes with our psyche, how we look at things. See, when I was a little girl, my grandmother, I loved black even when I was a little girl. My grandmother saw me in a black silk shirt that I would wear under my blue overalls, which made my grandmother just crazy. She couldn't stand that I would wear overalls, first of all. And then her other big pet peeve was that black was not a little girl color. Seriously, folks. And my grandmother was born like back in the 1800s or something, or the very early 1900s. You just didn't wear black unless you were going to a funeral. You didn't. You might have some black on whatever it is you were wearing. Maybe it was in a print, but you never wore all black. The first thing anybody thought about when they saw all black is you were going to a funeral. As a matter of fact, they used to wear armbands. They used to wear armbands to signify that you were in mourning. Some people would wear black until they had moved out of their mourning phase. And in some families, a widower would wear black for a year or longer. That was really serious. So now black's the cool thing to wear. Of course, that's changing too. Every year, there's somebody that comes out in fashion and says, oh, didn't you know that orange is the new black? Didn't you know that green is the new black? I'm sorry, folks. it's just black stays black, and you just can't crack that. You just can't crack it. You can't ever make some other color black. You could make, you know, green the new magenta, or maybe you could make purple the new red or pink or something, but I just don't see it. Black stands alone out of all colors. Yeah. Thank you, Mel. So let's move along. My sweetie's color, his favorite color is dark red burgundy. He's talked about red the whole time that I've known him. And I've known him for more than 15 years. And when the first time that I met him and he was talking about what colors he thought would be really great for a car or something, and the first thing he said was red. But he didn't want a big, bright fire engine red. He wanted a darker burgundy red. And it's like, really? Because he's more, he has this sort of demeanor when I first knew him, he's real businesslike. I had a picture of him, and it just looked like, I called it confirmation hearings kind of look, where he looked like one of those senators in a big giant meeting. And just Gaetano had that look. He tends to dress in suits for the work he does. He's just always in a professional sort of looking garb, unless he's working around the house or something, and then he'll wear jeans or something like that, or jean shirt when he's working construction type work. But yeah, so he's really into red, and a red, we talked about that as we're trying to catch our breath here in these nice reddish fire days. It's an emotionally intense color, and it stimulates a faster heartbeat and breathing. It's the color of love. And, you know, it's no mistake that love generally makes us extremely excited. It actually hastens our breath and our heartbeat. Love, we tend to have hearts are the color of red. Your beating heart, people think of as red. It's all about speeding up everything, the heartbeat, the breathing. And since it's an extreme color, it says that red might not help people in negotiations or confrontations because it can make people more excitable and more emotional. Red cars are very popular, and they're very popular targets for thieves. Decorating with red, it's usually as an accent because, like red furniture or something, because it attracts attention. Maybe if your whole room is sort of red or green or blue or something like that, even yellow, and then you just have like a red bench or a red chair. Maybe you just put red on some of the moldings in your room. It just helps to liven things up a little bit. But an all red room can become psychotic inducing exercise of I don't know, heart attack, all kinds of things, you know, just anger, just put you in an anger ball, and people don't even always know that it's affecting them. Why was I so angry? You know, why did I always want to drive fast in my little red Corvette, as Prince sang? There's there's something about that, and there's a reason for that. For instance, I don't know if you know this, if you're out there and you're purchasing cars, red cars generally cost a lot more money in insurance because most people who drive them tend to drive faster and they get into a few more accidents. Here's why. People see red and, I don't know, it's sort of like bullfighting. The bull sees the red and goes right for it. It's a strange, strange thing that red does to us in these days of heat, balminess, and, even wintertime, you see red. Maybe red's a better time to wear red is during the winter. get yourself moving, a little more excited, possibly a red tracksuit so you get yourself out there running on the road. But watch it when you're crossing streets, though, because certainly hate for somebody to start speeding up for you like you're a red flag or something to hit. Yeah, just something. Anyway, somebody in the chat room said that they had a red wall in their house and she hated it. It induced hate for her. Okay, so there's red. You want to attract attention? Yeah, wear red. Watch it on those job interviews, though. You might give the impression that you're a little bit spicier than you really are, and then maybe you get hired, and you're expected to give a little bit more than what's on the job description. Let's move along. The next color that comes up, oh, before we finish with red, we really should tell a little bit more about red. It says that the most romantic color, pink, is more tranquilizing. They're putting it there with the red. And it's true. They've actually used pink to cover locker rooms for this one. I love this. They use pink to cover the locker room walls for the visiting teams for a football team. I think it was for a school. It was a university. And so that when the visiting team would go in there, it would sort of decrease their urge and their energy. It sort of makes them more tranquil. So that when they went out on the field, they weren't like, yeah. They were just like, yeah, okay, let's go play this game. Whereas the home team, I don't know. I don't think they painted their room red, but they're all jazzed up to go, and they're getting ready to deal with this team that they undercut by using a color. It's a true story, folks. It's out there. People who are really smart and aware, they use color to their advantage. And why not? Hey, you got to paint your house some color. Why not use it to your advantage? Maybe, you know, if you have a kid that's always getting into trouble and he's just nothing, maybe you need to go in there and paint that kid's room pink. Or maybe it just, you know, conveniently replaces bed quality, bed sheets and everything with pink. He may not like you very much, but you might have less trouble and possibly more respect. If you do this with your children, please understand that I take no responsibility for you taking those actions. You need to research color for you and make sure that you don't cause more problems in your household. Okay, moving along with blue, the color of the sky and the ocean. And, of course, there are different shades of it. Blue is one of the most popular colors. It causes the opposite reaction of red. It's peaceful, it's tranquil. Mel says she digs blue. It actually causes the body to produce calming chemicals, probably like what do they call those chemicals? I know this, but you know, I'm just not thinking about it at the moment. There's chemicals like that actually gets released in your system when you're happy, you're in love, or you're eating dark chocolate. It's probably the same thing. Oh, yeah, turquoise. Yeah, Mel loves that color. And that's the one stone. I like it, but it just, I like more see-through colors for stones. Anyway, moving along. Sorry, I'm getting off the track, back onto the track. Blue can also be cold and depressing. We talked about that earlier. Fashion consultants recommend wearing blue to a job interview because it symbolizes loyalty. People are more productive in blue rooms. Studies show weightlifters are able to handle heavier weights in blue gyms. Interesting. So, there you go. You know, you could be a little bit depressed. You go into a job, and maybe that might be why somebody wants to hire you, because you seem more docile and more productive, because you're gonna, you know, hang in there with whatever the boss says. I still think you ought to put a little bit of red somewhere in there, just so that they know you're not dead. You know, like, you know, accessorize with accents that help remind you of, you know, who you are. And I think that there's something really incredible when you meet someone who's in a suit, whether it's a dark suit or a white suit, and then they just have this little pop of a red handkerchief. It's just something about it. It's giving you a hint to the spiciness of their personality beyond just, you know, the simple color palette that they're normally wearing. So that's blue color. Let's move on to green. Oh, that's one of my other absolute favorite colors. I love red too, but green is the color of growth and yummy vegetables. Not because they're yummy, but everything's just so fresh, and they're just, green always signifies to me new life. So I'm always attracted to green for that reason. Now, they say that the green is currently one of the most popular decorating colors. And here's why. Because it symbolizes nature. And we often want to bring nature inside, you know, but we just don't want to bring the bugs in. And so I don't know if you've ever seen a home where they have an atrium inside the house, where it's actually open to the elements, but you have big windows to see this atrium inside the house. So it gives you that sort of sense that you're still connected with nature. Great. Great way to help you connect with nature, especially if you have some trees in there and a little bit of water or something, so you can see birds and things come in there. So anyway, green, nature. It's the easiest color on the eye, and it can actually improve your vision. It is calming, and it's a refreshing color. And it's interesting, they brought up something that we all hear about this when we hear about somebody going to, like, the Tonight Show or Late Night or any kind of TV show. Most people talk about waiting in green rooms. And they actually use this to help people relax before they have to go stand in front of billions of people and either make a fool of themselves or try to convince the world to like them or their movie or their book or their policies. Hospitals often use green because it relaxes patients. And it also says here that brides in the Middle Ages wore green to symbolize fertility. Oh, boy, there's so much to be done with fertility and colors and all that, but, yeah. And then they say dark green. Now, let's get real. Dark green, how many people think of dark green as being associated with bankers, little dark green bankers' lights, money? We associate hunter green type things. It also says here that most people associate that, yeah, lawyer's offices. Great idea, Mel. That's it. And it says here that people associate this darker green as masculine, conservative, and implies wealth. There you go. See? It says that, however, seamstresses often refuse to use green thread on the eve of a fashion show for fear it will bring bad luck. Ooh, there's something I didn't even think about. I wonder if they talk about that on Project Runway. Maybe so. I don't know. I never heard that. I'll have to ask my brother. He used to design clothes. And, yeah, that's interesting. A little bit of information. But there you go, green. You need to sort of connect with with nature, you want to be a little refreshed. You need to relax a little. Get some green in your room. Listen, folks. It's 2014. We're beyond the 21st century. We're in the, what, 22nd century or something? I don't know. Or maybe we're in the 21st century. But, you know, we've moved on past the millennium. You don't have to have white walls everywhere in your house. Think about using color to create your own oasis in your house. And I know there's a lot of people who want to infuse their homes with every color under the rainbow. But if you do that and you find that you only seem comfortable in the den that's green, you might want to think about repainting your color scheme. It was sort of like a brilliant idea to have a kaleidoscope house until you realize it's not as pleasant to live there. Something to think about. It's your life. If it's your house, then why aren't you doing what you need to do for you? Now, we talked about yellow. Wasn't my favorite color. I'm getting into that lemony yellow a little more. Yeah. Like Mel says, it looks like the color wheel threw up. Well, you know, when you have a house that has all those different colors all over the place. I wish I could share with you a house that I found on Bainbridge Island. I wish I could share with you the color scheme in that house. Somebody put wallpaper all over the entire room. The floor, the walls, the ceiling were all the same color. And then they went and found some fabric and covered the couch in the same color, and then they had like some throw pillows that were sort of the same. On top of that, they had all these different kind of art that seemed sort of from past the medieval age, maybe during the Inquisition age. Or the Medici's age. It was odd. But it just, the way that that color in that room, just it just made me want to jump out of my own skin. I don't know how anyone could have lived in that house without going mentally imbalanced. Best thing I can say. And I noticed that the house has been on the market for over a year. Nobody seems to be biting. It's a great property. It's got lots of land. It's not so expensive for the land you get that's waterfront. But even when I had shown this picture of this property to another person, they actually thought that the house would need to be torn down because they thought that the spirit in the house, because of those colors, was probably going to be terrified, or like she would haunt people because she loved that crazy scheme so much she'd never want to leave. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if the owners passed away or what happened. I know that from a psychological standpoint, I found very little space for anyone to want to stay. I can't imagine anyone being married in that house and how their marriage would possibly work. But, you know, to each his own. There just wasn't my style, and apparently not a lot of other people's style. I mean, if you buy the house, it means you're going to probably have to do a whole lot of work getting all that wallpaper off, and, you know, the renovations are just, yeah. Mel says the house looked like an evil clown blew it up in it. It's different. So, yeah, colors, folks, really important. Look at how colors are affecting you. The yellow, let's talk about the yellow. I would have loved a house, that house, I would have loved if they had one room just totally covered in yellow, because that would have been more sane for me to stand in than all the other rooms. yellow is a sunny color. It's an attention getter. We all know that. When you make jewelry, one of the things, I took a jewelry class years ago when I used to blow glass, and Virginia, I wish I could remember your last name, but she was an award-winning jewelry maker, and all of her work was incredible. And I took a class from her, and she was explaining to us that if you just put one or two or three or just every other three or four beads or some major combination of little beads in with your jewelry piece, that it actually brightens up the piece and makes it more attractive. Even if it's not colors you would normally consider should go with yellow. So just, it can be really small beads, or it could be just one or two pieces of larger beads or some item that was yellow. It's just brilliant psychology that I had no idea. But so, you know, it's good to research color in for whatever it is you're doing. If you're making something for someone, whether it's crocheted, if you're making an afghan, or you're creating a quilt, or you're making some clothes or something that you might want to think about. You know, what little accents will actually help whatever it is you're going to be, whatever you're making, whatever you're creating, what it's going to be used for. And here's another thing that they say about yellow. It's considered an optimistic color. It says people lose their tempers more often in yellow rooms. It also says babies will cry more often in yellow. Interesting. It's the most difficult color of the eye to take in, so it can be overpowering if overused. Yellow enhances concentration, hence it is used for legal pads. Oh my goodness, I never knew that. And it also speeds metabolism. Whew. Well, I can certainly tell you the yellow in that heat out there is speeding up this metabolism a little more than I'd like. That's something to think about, folks. And a lot of people use yellow with babies, don't they? Interesting. Okay, the color purple is the color of royalty. Most of us have heard that. It connotates luxury, wealth, and sophistication. It is also considered feminine and romantic. However, because it is rare in nature, purple can appear artificial. Yeah, too much purple from anybody seems creepy to me. So I used to like purple a little more because of the regal elegance that it tended to denote. But it was so overused that so at one point it was just like that signifying it's Barry Bainbridge time, and that we're almost out of time. But anyway, purple, yeah, it may not be a good idea to have purple tennis shoes on, purple socks, purple slacks, purple vest, purple shirt, purple jacket, purple hat, with purple eyeliner, eye makeup, and lipstick. Ah, I would avoid that like the plague if you could. Unless, of course, you're getting ready to do some dinner theater or an improv comedy routine. I don't know. Are you going on Saturday Night Live? Mel says, horrid. Well, hey, I... okay. Well, hey, listen, folks. The point you're getting here is there's a lot affecting you with color. The things to remember about color is it makes a statement about who you are, and it makes a statement about what's around you, and it actually helps to infuse your moods with a direction. So think about that. Even with food, for instance, they say blue is so rare in nature that it's considered one of the least appetizing foods. So if you are, making a spread and you put a lot of blue coloring in the frosting, well, people aren't going to be as drawn to that to eat as, say, something else. So the other thing is they have found that secondary colors tend to be associated with people with education. They tend to like those colors a little more than people that have less education. People with less education tend to go with basic primary colors. Tertiary colors are the ones that mix the secondary colors with other secondary colors. So they're a little bit different, but I guess it has a lot to do with the way the brain is thinking. So anyways, we're just about out of time, folks. I'm not quite sure if you sort of got my where I'm trying to go with this. I'm trying to get you to see how color is affecting you. And in the days that you feel that you're not really feeling that good, it might be something you're wearing. It might be where you're working. When I worked in the office at Bank of America, all of the cubicles had gray. They were trying to sort of keep us in a certain non-reactive mode, I assume. But the best thing that could happen to you is that you could get near a window because we were up on the 40th floor or something, and then you could see something other than gray. I just think that gray dumbs you down, and it just, helps you to be more of a drone. And, there's only so much that most corporations want, their little worker bees to become exceptional. I mean, they want you to help them look exceptional, but generally they just want you to be worker bees and be productive. So, yeah, and if you're finding that that's your problem, that your wall cubicles make you feel depressed or non-productive, then bring in some of these other colors and put them on your cubicle wall. Put them on your desk to remind you, a little red, that there's spice in you, a little green to help you feel a little more relaxed so that your boss doesn't make you so uncomfortable. So, these are all things that you can do to help you out. And there are things to think about when you go out on a date. When you go out on a date and you're wearing red, what are you telling the person that you don't really know? Or maybe how are you affecting that date when they're looking at all your red or all your black? Or your yellow? Think about that, folks. Maybe instead of, does my butt look fat in this? Instead, look in the mirror and think, how is my date going to feel when they're looking at this? Normally, they aren't looking. They're not. Listen, if they're already going on a date with you most of the time, they don't care what your butt looks like until, your butt's actually showing. Anyways, moving along, let's just go ahead and get to the shows, folks, because we are out of time. And coming up tomorrow, we have in the studio with Lennis. She has hot topics, news, and entertainment. She goes over sports stuff. Not sure. It could be anything that she covers. It's just a more traditional radio show. And then we have that show is going to be at 7 p.m. tomorrow at Pacific Time, in the studio with Lennis. And then on Thursday, I'll meet you back here at 6 p.m. for Filmcology. And we're going to be looking at the films The Best Man and The Best Man Holiday. And the reason that I'm looking at both of them, because there's some interesting archetypes in these movies from a psychological point of view that has to do with all these friends, a group of friends, and how they are and how they interact, secrets and all that. It's really good to take a look at the characters and, you know, see which one of those characters kind of resonates kind of with your personality. And then we'll talk about which one actually resonates with mine. And then we get to see them 10 years later in Best Man Holiday and see how their relationships have developed, their families and all that. So it's going to be fun. Romantic comedy, and they're really fun movies. They're going to be fun to watch. I hope you take a chance, watch them, and then join us to talk about them. That's 6 p.m. tomorrow on Thursday, Then on Friday, Traffic Jam, we have, looks like Lennis is going to do classic 60s music at 5 p.m. And she does about an hour, and she, you know, marches you on into your weekend and on your drive home. Then on Saturday, we have On the Road Again with Time to Love with Lydia Pello. Now, Lydia, her show is at 2 p.m., and she's going to be in Utah. And we've come to really love when she does those on-the-road shows, wherever she's traveled to, and she infuses us with some great information about loving yourself and great things that you can do for yourself in whatever place that you're at. So, yeah, it's always great, and she'll tell us something that she's learned or something. It'll be just the right thing we need to hear, and that's what we love about that show, On the Time to Love with Lydia at 2 p.m. Then on Sunday, Lennis is doing her psychic readings. You can ask one question only, and her show is at 3 p.m. Pacific time. Lennis is still doing a special where every ninth caller gets a hour free reading. That's basically worth $60, and she does a lot of readings, so that's a really nice thing to win, and it's every ninth caller, so if you don't catch the first one, maybe you can catch the next one. And thank you, Mel, real quickly. And then, let's see, on Monday at 7 p.m., we'll have LNB Passage to Empowerment. And this, I cannot wait to do this show because of where I'm at right now in graduate school. Educational empowerment. Do we ever stop learning? My answer to that is hell no. Thank God. But anyways, join us at 7 p.m. on Monday with Passage to Empowerment, Educational Empowerment. Seek it, know it, feed that brain, folks. And then on Tuesday, brings us right back to here, 6 p.m. on BYO Brilliance, we're going to be talking about the brilliance of honoring your heritage, who you are. Listen, I have all kinds of stuff mixed up in me. My grandfather was telling me about the Mormon missionary's daughter who ran away with the mixed slave to Canada where they started the family and blah, 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 and then they wrote and homesteaded back in the United States in 1870s. And then they're talking about my grandmother, my grandfather's wife's family, and they were Native Americans and African Americans. And then there was the Caucasian man who just had to marry this Native American chicken plucker, as my grandmother, she used to say it the same way, a chicken plucker, she used to say it like that. And he refused to leave this woman alone until she married him, and she just finally got sick of the man and went ahead and married him. So, yeah, there's a lot of heritages in the tip of my little finger, and I think we should all honor our heritage. Most of us are not peer one particular racial background or the other. So find out what your racial heritage is. Ancestry.com is not a bad thing to do. And, you know, if you can't afford to do that, just start talking to some of the elders in your family if you can. And if not, you know, just seek it. Find out. Find out who it is. You know, who are you? You know, for your own knowledge, not anybody else's. But either way, honor your heritage. You know, yeah, I got white in me, I got black in me, I got Native American, whatever. I find that the more you honor your heritage, the harder it is for you to hate any other race. Because you might find out you're hating somebody that's just a little bit part of you. Okay, everyone, that's 6 p.m. next Tuesday. Thank you for joining the show. If you were listening on archive, podcast, or however that you join the show, I do appreciate your support. And I hope to see you next Tuesday or at one of the other shows if I happen to be there. And thank you, Melody, for all your assistance in the chat room. You were brilliant today. All right, everybody, take care. Have a nice night. And I hope that you can stay brilliantly cool wherever you are and not underwater and not in any way that's unhealthy to your nature and your physical being. Take care, everyone. Good night.